Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where today we're going to discuss this very, very hot topic. Did Christ die for everybody? What do you think? Now, most of you, I'm going to take a guess, have probably responded, well, sure, Christ died for everybody, right? Well, if that's the case, then that means that everybody goes to heaven, right? Wrong. We do not believe in the heretical teaching of universalism that says that everybody in the universe, past, present, and future, will eventually end up in heaven. That is called universalism, and nowhere, I mean nowhere in the Bible do we get that teaching. You probably heard that there have been some rather popular as well as controversial teachings that have come out over the last several years. One in particular that says that in the end, God's love wins. And eventually, at the end, God, because he is so great in love, will eventually just empty hell and everybody goes to heaven. That, again, is heretical. Nowhere does the Bible teach that. I mean nowhere. In fact, in Luke chapter 3, John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, in verse 17, talked about the coming Messiah, and he said that he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, that means salvation, and with fire, that means judgment. In fact, we know that for certain because we look at the context of verse 17, and it says his winnowing fork is in his hand to clear, completely clear, his threshing floor, and to gather the wheat, those who are saved, into his barn, i.e. heaven, and to burn up the chaff, meaning the unredeemed, the unregenerate, with, and here's the key word, unquenchable fire. He's talking about eternal damnation here. So we do not believe that in the false teaching of universalism, and therefore, we cannot say that Christ died for everybody. Because if Christ died for everybody, that means everybody goes to heaven. Well, if we know that not everybody goes to heaven, that there are those who will have to endure the unfortunate and sad but very realistic reality of unquenchable fire, eternal damnation, well, then we know Christ didn't die for everybody. Because if Christ died for everybody and everybody does not go to heaven, that means that what Christ did on the cross was not enough. And friends, that in itself is also called heresy. So you see, now there are some out there that say, well, Christ died for everybody, and therefore he has provided the possibility for people to be saved, for everybody to be saved, but it's up to them to exercise faith in order to actually be saved. Let me repeat that. There are some who say that Christ died for everybody, therefore providing the possibility for everybody to be saved, and that the people have to exercise faith to actually be saved. Key word, possibility. If Christ died through his death and resurrection, provided the possibility for us being saved, then that means he did not actually pay for our sins. You see? He provided the possibility, but he didn't actually achieve the work. That, again, is heresy. Christ actually paid for sins. Christ actually provided atonement for his elect. Christ actually appeased the wrath of the Father. Christ actually provided a full and final atonement. Galatians chapter 1, Paul talks about Jesus Christ, verse 4, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of God the Father. Christ has actually rescued the elect from the horrors of eternal damnation. He didn't simply provide the possibility of that for that to happen. He has actually achieved that. 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter says, verse 18, that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from your empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors. But you were redeemed, verse 19, with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. In other words, Christ did not simply provide the possibility for redemption. He actually redeemed the elect. Does that make sense? So, if Christ died for everybody, and everybody does not go to heaven, then what happened? Christ, wanting to die for everybody, wasn't actually able to pull off the job, since not everybody goes to heaven? May it never be. If Christ died for everybody, and he simply provided the possibility for everybody to be saved, that means that people then have to actually finish the job, which Christ simply provided the possibility for, and people have to finish the job through their own faith and efforts. That's called work salvation. May it never be. Christ died for the sins of, you ready? His people. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, when the angel announced to Joseph that Mary was pregnant, impregnated by the power of the Holy Spirit, in verse 21, that she was going to give birth to a son. And the angel said to Joseph, you are to give him the name Jesus, by the way, which means the Lord is salvation, Savior. You're to give him the name Jesus. Why? Here it is. Because he, Jesus, will save his people from their sins. You see it? Now, let me stop right here and make it very clear. I am in no way limiting the sufficiency of Christ's death and resurrection. What do I mean by that? Christ's death and resurrection was sufficient, is sufficient, to pay for all the sins of all people who have ever lived, who are currently living, and who will ever live. Did you get that? Christ's sacrifice was absolutely sufficient. However, Scripture makes it clear that his sacrifice was efficient, or better yet, applicable to the elect, his people. Matthew 1, verse 21 again. Christ died for the sins of his people. John chapter 10. What did Jesus say? I am the good what? Shepherd. In verse 11, and he says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The sheep. Jesus said in verse 27 of the same chapter, "My sheep listen to my voice, I know them and they follow me, and I give them eternal life." Who does Jesus give eternal life to? The sheep. Who did Jesus lay down his life for? The sheep. In fact, Jesus went on to say, verse 16, "I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock, i.e. of sheep, and one shepherd." Okay? Now, Jesus died for the sheep. Jesus died for the sins of his people. Those who have been chosen before the foundation of time, Christ went to the cross and paid for their sins in full. He provided atonement, redemption. Not the possibility of it, but the actual redemption of the chosen people. The actual atonement for the sins of the chosen people. Christ laid down his life for the who? Sheep. Now again, these are the words of Jesus. And he is the one who tells us whose sins he paid for. Now wait a second, Andrew. He could be talking about every person. Well, no. And keep the word sheep in mind. Matthew 25, again, words of Jesus. He talks about two groups of people standing before him on judgment day. He talks about the sheep who are on his right side. And he talks about the goats who are on his left side. We'll talk more about that after the break.
You're listening to Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic from his church location in Croatia. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go with a support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, where each week Andrew gives the Word of God via live webcast. For more information about service times and directions to Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, please find a link to their site at gracenetradio.com. And now, back to Hot Topics. Here again is Dr. Andrew Vuksic.
Welcome back, everybody, to Hot Topics, where I spent the first part of the show trying to slowly lay a biblical foundation to be able to answer this, well, emotionally charged hot topic question. Who did Christ die for? Whose sins did Christ pay for? Now, again, the emotional response by most people is going to be, well, Christ died for the sins of everybody. That, I guess, makes us as humans, I don't know, it allows us to maybe swallow things a little bit easier, okay? We say, okay, well, Christ is giving everybody an opportunity to be saved, right? He has done his job by providing the possibility for people to be saved. He did his job through his death and resurrection. Now we as humans have to exercise the faith in order for that possibility to turn to actuality in order for people to be saved. That is incorrect. That is wrong. Christ, through his death and resurrection, did not provide the possibility for salvation. He actually achieved that which was necessary to save his people. Who are his people? Jesus said, not all people. We are not universalists. We do not believe that in the end, God's love wins. He empties hell and everybody goes to heaven. That also is heretical. We believe what the scripture says. We don't go based on our emotions. We don't go based on our feelings. We don't go based on our desires. We go based on God's objective propositional truth, which God in his grace has given to us. There may be times when we read things or see things and we go, I'm not sure I like this. Well, guess what? It doesn't matter. God's truth is God's truth, whether we like it or even whether we believe it or not. God's truth is always God's truth. And what is truth about who Christ died for? Well, Christ said he laid down his life for his sheep, not for the goats. In Matthew 25, Jesus makes it very clear in verse 31, when the Son of Man, Jesus is referring to himself, his royal title, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. Jesus is talking about judgment day. All the nations will be gathered before him. Everybody who has ever lived, is living, or will ever live, will gather before him. And he, Jesus, the good shepherd, the royal judge, will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Jesus will put his sheep on his right side and the goats on his left. Well, who are the sheep? Well, again, in John 10, Jesus said he lays down his life for his sheep. Jesus said, my sheep know me. They follow me. They hear my voice and I give them eternal life. He says nothing about the goats. He does not say I lay down my life for sheep and goats. He does not say I give eternal life to sheep and goats. And on judgment day, there is a separation between the sheep and the goats. And what happens to the sheep? Well, Jesus makes it very clear in verse 41 to the goats. Let me go there. To those on his left, the goats, Jesus says, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. The sheep, verse 46, he brings them to eternal life. The goats will go away to eternal punishment. Who did Jesus lay down his life for? The sheep. Whose sins did Jesus pay for? The sheep. Jesus did not lay his life down for the goats. He did not pay for the sins of the goats. And friends, I know that is a tough doctrine for some of you to swallow. And you may say, Andrew, I don't agree with this. It's okay. You're not disagreeing with me. You're disagreeing with what the scripture says. And my recommendation is that you would slowly look at the scriptures, look over the passages I reviewed, and really just start to, you know, kind of interpret scripture with other scripture. Because again, there's only one interpretation of scripture. That is God's interpretation, right? So we are all learning. We're all in the process of learning. And I don't expect you to just immediately swallow this and say, well, okay, it makes sense. Okay, this is what Andrew said, so I've got to go with it. No. The question is, whose sins did Jesus pay for? The normal answer that most people will give is, well, he paid for the sins of everybody. Well, again, if he paid for the sins of everybody, that means everybody goes to heaven, right? Well, no, you can't say that because scripture is clear that there's heaven and there's hell. So we know that not all people go to heaven. Well, if Jesus paid for the sins of everybody and not everybody goes to heaven, does that mean that Jesus failed? Well, no, people will say, no, Jesus died for the sins of everybody, providing the possibility for salvation, but the person has to do the final part of the job by exercising faith in Christ in order for what Christ did at the cross to actually kick in. Friends, that's work salvation. That's a Jesus plus gospel. That's saying what Jesus did was good, it was almost enough. It actually provided the possibility, but the actual redemption, the actual salvation, the actual atonement didn't kick in until we added the final piece of the puzzle, exercising faith in Christ. Friends, that's wrong. That's work salvation. That's saying that Christ did 99.9%, but we've got to do the rest. That doesn't work. Because didn't Jesus say in John 19 on the cross, to Tetelestai, it is finished, paid in full? Well, who was he talking about there? Paid in full. The sheep. Because he laid down his life for the sheep. Ephesians chapter 5, another great example of that. In the section that talks about, you know, women have to submit to men, or wives have to submit to husbands, husbands have to love their wives, as Christ loved the, fill it in, church. You see? Who did Christ love? The church. Who did Christ lay down his life for? The church. Who is the church? Well, stay in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. The chosen ones who have been chosen by God before the creation of the world. Why? To be holy and blameless in God's sight. Christ laid down his life for the sheep. The sheep are the church of God, the chosen of God. They are the ones Christ loves, and Christ so loved that he laid down his life for them. In verse 7 of chapter 1, Scripture says, in Christ we have redemption. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, we have it. In accordance with the riches of God's grace, which he lavished on us. Do you get that? It doesn't say in Christ we have the possibility of redemption. It does not say in Christ we have the possibility of the forgiveness of sins. No, it says in Christ we have redemption. Why? Because he redeemed us. Because he is the one and only redeemer. Well, who did he redeem? Stay in that context. Those who have been chosen before the foundation of time. Who are those who were chosen before the foundation of time? The sheep. And Christ lays down his life for the sheep, not for the goats. And Christ loves the church. And how much did he love the church? The chosen, the elect. That's what it means, church. He loved the church so much in Ephesians 5 that he gave himself up for, now listen to the pronoun, for her. He did not give himself up for everybody. Well, Andrew, wait a second, that's not fair. Whoa, you can just respond like Paul told the people in Romans 9. Who are you, O man, to talk back to God? I'm not God, and certainly I'm not the one who designed all this. I am a humble servant like you, and I'm just trying to understand God's truth as he has graciously revealed it to us. And as I look at the scriptures, it's pretty clear to me, again, who Christ died for, because scripture tells us. He died for the church. The chosen elect, he gave up himself for her. He redeemed her. He has provided forgiveness of sins for her. And she is the sheep. The sheep of the great shepherd, Jesus Christ. Again, please hear me very clearly. I am not limiting the sufficiency of Christ's sacrifice. Let me repeat that. I am not limiting the sufficiency of it. Christ is able to pay for this every sin of every person who has ever existed, is existing, or will ever exist. We don't doubt that in any way whatsoever. Why? Because he is the eternal Word, the second person of the Trinity. Okay? However, what Scripture tells us is that the application of Christ's once for all time substitutionary sacrifice. It is applied, though sufficient for everybody, it is applied to the chosen elect, the bride of Christ, the sheep of the shepherd, Christ's people. And so, if you are in a saving relationship with God through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, my friend, you are part of the bride of Christ. Christ gave himself up for you. You're one of the sheep of the shepherd's flock, the great shepherd, Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for you. You have the privilege to hear his voice through his word, the Bible. You follow him. You know him. He has given you eternal life. And on that day, judgment day, you'll be standing at his right side. And you will receive the commendation. Well done, good and faithful servant. Come inside and enjoy your master's happiness. Who did Christ die for? Christian. He died for you. He redeemed you. You have forgiveness. He didn't simply provide the possibility. He actually achieved it once for all time. That's why we praise him. Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.